KVOE, live and local, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, presents the On Air Chat. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Souter and Aaron Harder.
Beautiful Wednesday morning to all. Welcome to the On Air Chat. We are brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. For commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more, call Bruce Davis Construction, 620-342-5001. Good morning, Ron Thomas.
Good morning, Aaron Harder. How are you?
I'm great. It's gorgeous out there.
It is a beautiful start to the day, that is for sure.
Next few days look fantastic.
20 degrees above normal. A lot of people will take that.
Yes, they will.
It's maybe the most wonderful time of the year, too.
That,
on
that
top of
is.
The weather.
Yeah. That it is. That started a long time ago for you.
Yeah, mid-October, yeah.
Yeah.
We're ready. We're ready for the holidays.
We're ready for our guest as well.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting program here this morning. We have done a lot of interviews and programs with Crosswinds Counseling and Wellness, but we haven't specifically touched on this avenue. Many branches on the Crosswinds tree, and we're going to be talking about mobile crisis response. And we're pleased to be joined this morning by Emergency Services Manager Jade Brake here this morning. Jade, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you guys?
Doing good. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. A lot of energy here with Jade. We
there
can tell
is.
That already.
There is. We like that.
I'm excited. I'm really passionate about this topic and this department that we've grown. Yep.
Well, we're excited to hear about it because there's a lot to talk about here. A lot of wheels in motion at Crosswinds, Aaron.
There are, and a fairly new program. And I know some folks at Crosswinds that have said launching this program has been one of the best things they've done. So it'll be nice for everyone to learn about it.
All right. Well, let's get to it here this morning. Jade, let's find out a little bit about you. We mentioned you're the Emergency Services Manager role. I guess first tell us, what duties does that entail?
Sure. So the mobile crisis team, we consist of five right now. I'm hiring the fifth one on soon. But really, it's about getting out into the community. Oh, you're talking about the mobile, the emergency services manager position or the mobile crisis team?
Okay. The emergency services. What?
Oh, sure.
What does
well,
that entail?
I
what
supervise the mobile crisis team. You can see how passionate I am. I'm about to go into it. But as emergency services manager, I supervise. So the emergency services department, which consists of intake and therapist clinicians, a mobile crisis case manager, and then criminal justice mental health liaisons who are in our seven jails, as well as Lyon County probation.
Okay, so you oversee that?
I oversee that as well as I am a therapist as well. So I do screen clients, help with discharges from inpatient psychiatric hospitals, and then I also do some of the mobile crisis work out in the community.
Okay, well, let's find out a little bit about you.
Sure.
Where are you from? A little bit about your education.
Absolutely. So I am from Meriden, Kansas and Topeka, Kansas, but mainly Meriden, Kansas. Went to Jefferson West High School. I played golf for all my 4 years there. And then I went on scholarship to Baker University, played golf my 4 years there. Then in 2016, I came to ESU to go right on into my master's in clinical psychology. And then I started working in Ottawa, gained my licensed master's level psychologist degree, and then I've been at Crosswinds for about 2.5 years now. I have two great dogs. I live with my boyfriend here in Emporia, and I love it. I was telling the guys here that we're just booming. It seems like Emporia in the last 7 years has just grown substantially.
Well, and Crosswinds is a part of that growth. You know, I was telling you before the program, the employees at Crosswinds almost match the number of vehicles they have.
You know, you see them everywhere.
They have a lot of vehicles.
They have a
but
lot.
They also have a lot of employees.
Yes.
Yes, they do. And as Jay told me before the program, you know, we have to keep in mind that Crosswinds covers, you know, seven counties.
Yes.
So you have a lot of area. And
we see all seven counties' vehicles here.
Yes, you do. Yes. Yeah. So, and we have grown substantially, right? We've received grants to be able to get these vehicles to gain more employees so that we can serve more individuals in this community.
So what prompted you to get into this line of work you know, when you headed into college. Do you have this kind of in your family? I mean, what prompted you to want to do this?
Sure. So I think mental illness and just general, so the general anxiety, depression, those that we see the most of, I think they run in any family. And of course, I have my own struggles too. And so when I started to overcome those struggles, I thought I can help other people. I'm relatable. I have generalized anxiety disorder myself. So, and we see that a lot with this population, like how could you not have anxiety in this day and age every day? And so once I, you know, got control over my own anxiety, I thought I can help others. So now I really took a liking to the crisis department. I was an outpatient therapist before in Ottawa. But then I thought, you know, I really like the crisis work. I like that there's essentially after the session, there is a definite end to it. And you know that the client is going to help they need help, going to help get the help they need. And then I love the follow up afterwards with the family, with the client, with anybody that was involved in that one crisis, seeing how far they've come, seeing how else we can help them. So the crisis department is my jam. I just love seeing the results it brings.
Is that how many people are on your team in the crisis department right now?
Including me, there's 13, and I just want to keep growing it. I have one, like I said, that I'm hiring in December, and I'd like to, on the mobile crisis team specifically, get at least 3 more in there. But right now we're at 13, which is amazing because it was just 2 people when I came here in 2021-ish. So we're growing rapidly.
Yeah, we'll get into the mobile case crisis response team here in a little bit. What defines a crisis or an emergency in mental health?
So there's a couple of schools of thought with it. Everyone goes through their own crises. My mental health crisis may look different from someone else's. Like if my dog died, that would be a huge crisis for me. It would alter my daily life. It would alter my thought of who my family was, right? Because they're a part of my family. So I think it's different for everybody. So, but specifically within my department, it's danger to themselves or others. That can look like suicidal thoughts, homicidal thoughts, schizophrenia, or more, it's psychosis or bipolar disorder with danger to themselves or others behind that. So really it's about danger to themselves or others.
So are you one that will meet during a crisis? I mean, if they happen to be able to get in touch with you?
Absolutely. So I am one of the many people they can meet within the department. So I am a therapist, which means I can screen, which means I can provide them options for treatment. I recommend a treatment option for them.
Okay.
But we also have crisis case managers who can absolutely talk with them, triage, see if they can safety plan and get them the resources they need.
Is the emergency usually reported to you guys by the person or almost always by a family member, friend, or loved one?
Yeah, that's a great question. We have many, many sources. So it could be a neighbor. It could be a loved one. It could be the officer down the street. It could be the hospital saying they're worried about this person. So really anybody in the community, but usually it's the person themselves or a loved one.
You mentioned hiring more people, and it's good. It seems like funding has increased through the state, through the legislature here in the past couple of years. I think last year fairly significantly, and I think that you know, our lawmakers are getting the message that you know, mental health services are important, and we certainly had been lacking a number of years ago, but you're talking about adding a fifth, a sixth, and then a seventh person. So what does that say about the need? Obviously, the need for these services, unfortunately, is there. No?
Yes. So I want to give a shout out to our marketing and development team because we have, there are grants and that we have applied for, and they have applied for, and they've gotten that for us to be able to provide these many services that are needed. So thank you to our marketing and development team in Crosswinds. They have seen the need. They have worked hard to get that money we need so we can be able to serve this community. But there is a need. That's, we cover 7 counties. There are people in crisis that maybe can't get themselves connected, or LEO, so law enforcement officers have tried getting these people connected. But if we can get out in the community and get these people connected ourselves versus waiting for them to come to us, it'll be a world of difference. ERs won't be, there won't be as many admits to ERs. Law enforcement officers can do more of the other side of things versus the mental health side. So I think it's just going to be beneficial for all of this community in the 7 counties we cover.
Let's take our first break, Ron. We'll come back and get into a little more detail about the Mobile Crisis Team. You're listening to the On Air Chat. We are brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. This is KVOE. We are live and local.
Construction jobs don't go away when the weather gets colder. Bruce Davis Construction is available all winter long. When you need commercial dirt work, from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction, proud to be involved in recent construction jobs, including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001.
KVOE is proud to present Carrie's Christmas for Kids. For a small donation, you could have a chance to win a 3/4 carat total weight diamond ring set in 10 carat yellow gold valued at over $4,800. Register at Carrie's Diamonds, 1015 Industrial. All proceeds benefit the children of SOS. Happy holidays from KVOE.
Wow. Okay, I'm with that.
KVOE live and local, and time now for a look at headlines being brought to you by Jan Utech with RE/MAX Eck Real Estate, with the experience to get the job done in today's real estate market. From the 24-hour KVOE newsroom, and a look at all the latest local headlines, here is Chuck Samples.
Good morning, everybody. Nearly 10 years ago, the Kansas Turnpike toll gate at Emporia was modernized. Nearly 15 years ago, it was completely redesigned. Now, another major renovation is coming by the end of 2025 as the Turnpike Authority continues its work towards cashless tolling. Details are online at KVOE.com. Another cut in the state's food sales tax just a few weeks away. It's currently at 4%. Sales tax will drop to 2% effective on New Year's Day. And early next year, extradition may come for an Emporia man accused of killing 2 Emporia women in Colorado earlier this year. But that decision will wait until Philip Lawrence gets sentenced for another significant case against him locally. KVOE forecast from the TV 13 weather team. Sunny today, occasionally breezy at 57, clear and 41 tonight. Sunny and blustery, but warmer tomorrow at 64, and there is a rain chance Friday afternoon at 57. From the 24-hour KVOE newsroom, I'm Chuck Samples.
Thank you, Chuck. Currently, we do have a gusty south breeze, sunny skies, 43 degrees at KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. All the information you need, live and local. Headlines brought to you this hour by Jan Utech with RE/MAX Eck Real Estate. For buying or selling a home or property, contact Jan at 620-343-5100.
Ron Thomas, Aaron Harder hosting, the Emergency Services Manager at Crosswinds Counseling and Wellness. Jade Brake is our guest. Jade, let's get into the Mobile Crisis Response Team. When was it founded? What was the pressing need to establish the Mobile Crisis Response Team?
Absolutely. So in the state of Kansas, there were community mental health centers that already had this team established. Now KDADS, so like head of mental health in Kansas and kind of sets the rules, regulations, provides funding. They saw a need for it after hearing about the ERs being full of psychiatric clients and then law enforcement officers being bogged down by those, and not in a terrible way, right? But it's also, what can we do as a mental health center to be able to do some of that when there are clients? And we have the training to be able to de-escalate the crises and get them connected. So I would say back in, about September is when we got the notice of, like, we're going to start this and we are going to get the employees we need to be able to make this a success. And then here we just started in Lyon County. I've started talking to law law enforcement officers. I've talked to the hospital about how it will benefit them. And then my next stop is Osage. So here in January, well, I guess my next stop is Greenwood County and then in Osage in January. And I'll just continue my seven counties work with getting law enforcement officers on board.
So as far as the mobile crisis response team, what will be the duties of those that are on the team itself?
Mm-hmm. So for the team itself, they will go out to the community where the crisis is happening. So that referral call could be by law enforcement officers, loved ones like Aaron talked about. It could be from the client themselves. They will call into a crisis line, and then we will respond. So the team will respond to wherever that crisis is happening, pending safety, right? Because there is some safety factors we have to consider when we go out.
Sure.
So they'll respond out there, and then we could have law enforcement go with us if needed. If it's safe enough, we'll go out by ourselves in packs of two. Because of that safety factor, it's really recommended that there be two people at a time.
You hear of law enforcement agencies that have a mental health liaison on staff mm-hmm. across the country. It's kind of a new position. Is this an alternative to that, where they could be, let's say, at a call mm-hmm. and they could see that mental health services are needed, so they would call the crisis response team and you would maybe be there with an officer on site trying to de-escalate?
Yeah, so this is similar, I would say. So we have 988, which the clients can call, and then they call us to go out. So it's essentially a liaison in itself. But we also, in my department, have criminal justice mental health liaisons. So that's part of it, too, is they could in the jail. They're in the jail, and so they get connected to services. But really, I think this will take the place of it within the community. I think it's wonderful because then we can go triage the crisis, resolve the crisis, or triage, and then what do they need to get connected to? Absolutely. They're that connector piece as well.
So how many on the team right now?
On the mobile crisis team.
Mobile crisis team.
Yep. So I have two community crisis case managers. I have one who is bilingual. I have myself, who is the therapist, and then I have a peer support who is also awesome.
Now, right now, seven counties, and we can kind of see why you need to increase your numbers to fulfill everything you want to take
yeah.
care of.
Mm-hmm.
So are you dealing with certain hours of the day now, being your staff the way you are?
Absolutely. So right now we're 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. We're still in the building stages, and we're still in the stages of getting community partners invested in us, being able to trust us, calling us when a crisis happens, and for the community to even know we're here, because we haven't exactly rolled it out to the community yet. So if clients call in and we triage and we say, oh, this is safe for mobile crisis to go out, we will do that. There hasn't been a lot of opportunities yet, but we're kind of creating these opportunities as well by doing a lot of the follow-up, telling clients when they come in for a crisis, like, we can go out to you, so please call us, and you can even ask for a mobile crisis response. That's kind of the easiest way to do it, and we'll go through questions with you, and we'll be able to say, we can go out to you, or maybe come in to us. So there is that triage piece there.
So what are some of the qualifications you need for the members on your team?
Mm-hmm. So what I am looking for is someone who is flexible, just because of the hours, right? Because at one point, I do want to be able to have kind of a shift rotation. So I want someone to be flexible. I want someone to be direct but kind with people. I want someone to know how to handle a crisis situation and be able to handle themselves too, right? You have to calm yourself in order for the client to keep calm too. And I'm looking for those who aren't, who don't have this stereotypic portrayal of someone in crisis, right? I think there's this portrayal that we see of in movies where someone who has schizophrenia is dangerous, and that is just not true. There are rare cases of that. That's very true. But those are made for movies. That's not always reality. We have to be grounded in reality with this and not be afraid to sit down with someone and try to talk with them instead of being scared and going away from it. We lean in.
So what kind of training and education do those folks have to have?
Mm-hmm. So Crosswinds has its typical onboarding training, learning about what a crisis is, youth mental health first aid, adult mental health first aid. I also have them do a lot of shadowing so that they can see what a crisis looks like where it's in a controlled environment within the Crosswinds building. So at 1601 State Street, that's where therapists are held, and that's where my emergency services department is held. A lot of shadowing. De-escalation training. I had two of the crisis case managers go last week and do that at the Sheriff's Department. So that's checked off the list. And then there's a lot of like diagnosis training. So what's the typical presentation of schizophrenia? Someone who is having suicidal thoughts, and then how to talk to someone and how to like bring it around so that we can give them hope in the end.
So what kind of education do they need prior to coming to Crosswinds?
Yeah, great question. So with my with the community crisis case managers, it's really about bachelor's. Like I need them to have their bachelor's in something related. And then for the peer supports, it's just relevant experience. Do you have relevant experience that you can use with clients that you can be relatable to and that you're living recovery? So have you recovered from a mental illness, substance use? Do you have family that you had to care for that you saw that firsthand and have to and are essentially in recovery now from it and taking care of yourself?
Okay.
Let's talk a little bit more about the stereotypical mental health. I feel like we've made great strides, and that's probably why the funding from the feds and the states have increased as people have actually learned what mental health is. But there is still some really bad stereotypes out there. Why don't you just address that?
Yes. So I think the stereotype is that I think there's the homeless stereotype, right, that we see that that we are trying to resolve too. And that's why it's a great point that because of the – we're trying to – take that stigma away, right? And so I think that is why the funding is also there too, to help us be able to that we're not crazy. They're not crazy. That's where I think I really want to go to is the homeless, those with schizophrenia, those who have suicidal thoughts, homicidal thoughts, that crazy term that people use, that's not true. You see that in movies, right? That's the way it's portrayed, but we are trying to really take away that wording and take away the stigma so that we can help these people and have others in the community not shy away. I think there's not enough education and a misunderstanding of what this can look like. And I think my team also will be able to model that for the community.
How much do you think it's helped that famous celebrities and stuff have came out and been open about their crisis? Or their mental health and or more and more people know loved ones or friends and family that whether it's just getting a counselor or actually being open about being bipolar, whatever it is, just actually knowing people in your everyday life helps a ton.
Yes, I believe so. I think the more that we are transparent, the more that we say, hey, I struggle with anxiety, or hey, I struggle with XYZ in my daily life. I think that gives others the strength to be vulnerable. I think it's brave to say, here's what I'm struggling with today. I need to talk to someone. And, you know, you touched on the celebrity portion. And I think there is a duty to that somewhat, right? They're in the spotlight, so let's use it for good. And I think some of them have to say, I go to a therapist, and I think others go like, okay, if Brad Pitt does that, I don't know if he does, but if Brad Pitt does that, like, then it's okay for me too as well. So I love that you brought that up. I think it just gives people the bravery to be vulnerable.
We're talking with Jade Bright. Jade is the Emergency Services Manager, Crosswinds Counseling and Wellness. Now, there are segments of society that often say, you know, you're making too much of a deal out of this. We're diagnosing people and we're causing more anxiety by diagnosing people when they don't think they need it. Mm. I mean, do you hear anything of that? You know, as far as we're hearing so many people that are now bipolar, suffering from anxiety.
It wasn't an issue when we were growing up. Those kind of comments.
Sure. I think that's, I think everybody's okay to have their opinion, right? But I think it's great now that my generation, the generation coming up, and then the next generation coming up, I think it's great to be able to, I think it's just what we're forming as generations. It's like, we're more okay with it. And, you know, I would say that maybe those who are saying what you're saying, that it could just be pushed down. I think there's this suppression of it, like the bootstraps, the pull yourself up by your bootstraps, yeah. Like get through it, it's fine. I think
deal with it.
I think that's how they had to get through it, right? That's how they had to deal with it.
They didn't have crosswinds.
They didn't have me. Yes. They didn't have crosswinds in their lives, right? They didn't have my team in their lives. But I think that's how they got through it, and they had to – I just think that's how they had to deal with it. And you don't blame them, because that's the resources they had at the time, or that was the thought of the time. But I think that's changed now. I really think that it's be vulnerable, be more open, seek help. And we see that with our numbers rising and the intakes every day.
When dealing with crisis, what kind of we talked a little bit about this before we went on air, Jade, mm-hmm. as far as the demographically, what are you seeing as far as the crisis is, what types and what ages are you mm-hmm. dealing with?
To start with the ages, we generally see about 10 to, you know, whatever age, up to the highest age, right? So, but generally, that 13, 14 year old to 18, and then probably like 18 to 35. Even, you know, it's hard for me to estimate, because really, like, sure. We just see all ages. But what we really see is increased anxiety, life events happening. So major life events, divorces, death. Sometimes it's just things that happen within the world, right? And then suicidal thoughts is really where our main crises lie.
So suicide you mm-hmm. deal with quite often then?
Yes. I would, a daily basis, we have people call in here having suicidal thoughts, or we resolve a crisis.
So in the teen numbers mm-hmm. there are significant?
Yes. Yep. Self-harm as well. Depression has just increased. But suicidal thoughts, it's an epidemic right now.
Has the 988 number been impactful, do you think, since it came into play?
Yeah, I love 988. It's not been – we haven't seen a whole lot of calls from it in our area, per se. But I love that you can simply pick up your cell phone, text 988, or call 988 and speak with someone live right then and there. I love that idea. I think our communities just aren't as – there aren't as many – it's just not a big population. So I think for Wichita, for Kansas City, I bet they're seeing those sky-high numbers, but I think it does have a benefit. And I think something that our goal is in the future with Crosswinds, and we've been talking, Amanda kind of brought this up, Amanda Cunningham, our CEO, of becoming a 988 call center. That would be amazingly helpful for the mobile crisis team and for the community in general, knowing that the 988 call center is just right down the road here in Emporia.
I would think after, you know, if we're going to grow the way you anticipate and you mm-hmm. want,
yep.
that could certainly come into play.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have lofty goals, but I don't see it as I see with the team that I have, that they have lofty goals as well. And so we might as well aim for being able to wrap around those in the community with as much as possible.
Give us just some higher level stuff on, yep. you know, 2 years ago, this maybe was just being thought of,
mm-hmm.
and we were still treating mental health in the area, but we didn't have this team. Why this team specifically is important?
Mm-hmm. This team is specifically important because we are no longer going to sit in the office. So this team is going out to the community. It's going to go straight to where the crisis is. There will be less ER visits. There will be less law enforcement contacts. We can then get clients connected to services, and that means less state hospitalization visits, less inpatient psychiatric hospitalization visits. We can get them transported to where they need to go if they continuously are in crisis, but it's because they're not making their therapy appointments. Like, how can we fill that gap? So I think we're important because we're going to keep clients in the least restrictive environment as possible, right? Because there are some times where the state hospital or the inpatient psychiatric hospital is needed. But what can we do to keep you safe? And it'll save time and money. The client said it costs money for them. It'll save time for them and money for them and their loved ones as well.
So essentially, you guys are able to, the mobile crisis team is able to assess and treat someone when the crisis is happening instead of after the crisis has happened.
Absolutely. It's kind of a, so I think of it, I think in the moment it is a treat per se, but we can also prevent future crises, or how can we prevent it even before we, before they come to us, right? If LEO says, hey, we're concerned about this person, let's make contact for days on end. So yes, and you know, treat is a loose term. I would say we would resolve it per se, because I think with a crisis, it's ongoing. So I think in a sense you could say treat for sure. We would recommend something, hope the client follows through with it, see how we can help them follow through with
kind
it.
Of initial treatment then. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. That initial treatment and then getting them connected to long-term treatment for themselves, empower them.
Which is also available via Crosswinds, just in a different department more than likely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we can get them connected with those departments. We can make referrals, recommendations like, hey, I think our assertive community treatment team would be great for you. Or, hey, our medication clinic is in the Souder building as well. Like, can we walk you down there to get an appointment? Which is so cool to have all of that in one new building for us.
We're talking with Jade Brake, Emergency Services Manager, Crosswinds Counseling and Wellness. Jane just alluded to a new facility that houses her department. We'll take our next break and come back and talk about that facility, Aaron.
Sounds good. You're listening to the On Air Chat. We're brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. This is KVUE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. We are live and local.
Construction jobs don't go away when the weather gets colder. Bruce Davis Construction is available all winter long. When you need commercial dirt work, from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction, proud to be involved in recent construction jobs, including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001.
Join Ron Thomas and Chuck Samples Monday through Friday at 7:15 for the Newsmaker segment. A different guest and topic daily on KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. Live and local.
KVOE live and local, and time now for a look at sports headlines from the 24-hour KVOE newsroom and a look at all the sports you need. Here is Blake Cripps.
Well, the Kansas State men's basketball team continues to be magic in overtime. For the third consecutive game, they win an OT, upsetting Villanova 72-71 at Bramlage Coliseum in the Big 12 Big East battle on Tuesday night. Once again, Tyler Perry was the hero. A big go-ahead three-pointer with less than 30 seconds to go. Arthur Kaluma led the Wildcats with 26. Kansas needed a late charge, but they held off UMKC, beating the Ruse 88-69 at Allen Fieldhouse last night. Jayhawks led by 14 at the break, but the Kangaroos stuck around. They trailed 75-67 with 3.5 minutes to go, but then KU hit the Ruse with a 13-2 run to end the game while hitting 5 of 6 field goals along the way. Kevin McCullough paced the Jayhawks with 25 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists. The most prolific class in Emporia State soccer history honored by the United Soccer Coaches on Wednesday. Mackenzie DeMarco and Hannah Woolery received first-team All-Central Region honors. Journey Westcoat was voted to the second team. Lady Hornets finished as the MIAA Tournament champions 14-6-4 this season. Emporia High girls basketball remaining number 6 in the Kansas Basketball Coaches Association rankings. Lebo boys are still number 1 in Class 1A Division 2. Lebo girls are ranked 2nd. The Opie boys are 5th in 1A Division 1. Opie girls 8th. Linden boys ranked 7th in Class 2A. Hartford boys into the top 10, number 9 in 1A Division 2. That's sports. From the KVOE Sports Desk, I'm Blake Cripps.
Thank you, Blake. And for all the latest sports news, information, and our on-air schedule, make sure you check out the sports page at KVOE.com.
And welcome back to the on-air chat. Ron Thomas hosting today for Steve Souders. And basically, this is going to be the theme. Steve will be handling all of the booking and getting our guests in here. But we'll be... taking Steve's place here for the interview aspect. Aaron is off handling his city commissioner duties, as city commission does meet today, but we're in good hands with our guest today, Jade Brake. Jade is Emergency Services Manager for Crosswinds Counseling and Wellness, and we've been talking about the Mobile Crisis Response Team, which is in, I guess, kind of its fetal stages right now, early on, right?
Yep, we're building. We're building upon. So I was the first member of it, of course, because I'm the therapist to head it for the 8 to 7 p.m. right now. And then I hired a peer support, Lorna. She's wonderful. And then I was able to add a bilingual community crisis case manager. And then now I have a community crisis case manager. Then I'll add another community crisis case manager in January.
So Mobile Crisis Response Team, is this something new, or are other communities have done this? Where did this model come from?
So other states have done this. Kansas had a few community mental health centers that were doing this before, more like co-responding. So they were with officers in their vehicle responding together. And then now it's more, so the mobile crisis, so the mobile crisis model looks as if, okay, the call comes into the mobile crisis team. Do they need to have an officer go out before them, with them, potentially after them, or at all? So they're trained in safety. That's really like what is safe for us to go out to, what is safe for the client, and then who do we need to involve to essentially like back up our safety.
So how did this idea come to be to Crosswinds? How did this start? I mean, you were hired and you moved into this position. Was this something that you decided to do as a group? How did this decision come to be specifically for Crosswinds?
Absolutely. So there had been talks of it in the last maybe year and a half since. So I became manager about 2 years ago. And then about a year and a half ago, there were talks of like, how can we do this? Do we start with the co-responding? Do we get an officer involved? And then this grant came out from KDADS that provided us with the resources, the money, the funding, the ideas, kind of the guidelines for us to be able to do this. And so really it came from that. But there's always been talks of it. And I think they tried to do this in the past within Crosswinds. But now we have the resources. It's truly going to be done now, and we're going to sustain it.
So you're in charge of molding this plan?
Yeah, I would say I am. I have wonderful supervisors. I have a wonderful team behind me, including my mobile crisis team. But, you know, I'm able to bounce ideas off of Amanda Cunningham, Lucas Moody, who is really passionate about crisis as well. You know, he's in the marketing and development. But, you know, I can always say, hey, what do you think about this? My direct supervisor, Megan Adcock, is amazing. I'm able to say, hey, what are your thoughts about meeting with this community partner? Or how do you think I should have referrals be this way? And then the team, my team is wonderful. They're able to take things and run with it. They're self-starters. The emergency services department offers me feedback. It's a whole joint effort.
Well, it's easy to tell that you're passionate about your work.
I am.
And you're really excited about the crisis response team and what's going to come to be.
Absolutely. I'm so passionate about this. I just feel that this is, you know, I feel like we've made a difference, but now I think we can get out to the community and make an even more difference for the community. We can get out there instead of having people come to us.
Is it exciting? This is something new and the opportunity to make a difference and help more people?
Absolutely, yes. Yes, and I think we're just going to grow and grow, and I know we're going into the holiday season. So I know that this can be really tough for people. You're going to see your family. You may have triggers. You may see substance abuse around you. So you may be in a crisis, and so that's where we come in. So I'm just passionate about any type of crisis. We have multiple services within Crosswinds, not just the mobile crisis team. So for those who are listening, please call in, or if you want to know more information, please reach out to me. We have many teams that that can help any individual in the community, crisis or not.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the holidays. This is for many a very difficult time of the year, isn't it?
It is. It absolutely is. I think we see an uptick in January of intakes, of crisis calls, of like level of cares increased. And so I think it's really, I think it's the aftermath that we see. But if we can help you during your holiday season, it's, I think that can be a preventative measure as well.
Yeah, I mean, loss of loved ones, bring back, you know, sad memories, maybe mm-hmm. the first year without them during the holidays.
And, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then meeting with family members that you may not get along
absolutely.
With.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you brought up, like, anniversaries of deaths, right?
Yeah.
Or the first time that your mom can't come see you. And for, like, yeah. ESU students, if you can't get back home, that can be really tough on someone.
So do you get I know that you work closely with the schools.
Yeah.
Crosswinds does.
Mm-hmm.
Education is vital, you know, to getting that information out there.
And mm-hmm.
So
yes.
Do you see the need up like at ESU, college kids?
Mm-hmm.
Do you get a lot of calls from them?
So we've had a few come in. I think Lindsay and I have met. She is the director of their crisis or the counselors. Yeah, so she's director of ESU counseling, and I have met and tried to see how we can collaborate. But I think they do a wonderful job up there. A few have came in crisis, and Lindsay and I have collaborated on a few crises. But I think it's just wonderful what they're doing up there, and you know, I want to partner with them as much as possible.
Well, we do know the community, I think, is pretty aware of the capital campaigning. Mm-hmm. That has been going on successfully,
yes.
Crosswinds, and the result of some of the campaigning has come in two new facilities
mm-hmm.
that the Crosswinds is using. Let's talk about where you're housed now, Jade.
Yeah. So, Souder Family Center, we're over at 1601 State Street. We were located at 1000 Lincoln Street. So that building is still within Crosswinds currently, but it's more housing like admin, billing, and then some people from Merchant Street will start to head over there because our Merchant Street building is going to get renovated as well to be able to house the administration offices. But over at 1601, we have our medication clinic there now. We have the therapists. We have a few supervisors over there, and then we have the emergency services department. So we have all our resources under one building, and same-day access is taking place for intakes. So we're booming.
So how nice is that building?
So nice. We love it. We love it. It's one thing that I really, really love is the collaboration, how easy it can be. So getting a client over to medication clinic is a hallway away versus them being over on 8th Street. So it's amazing to be able to close that gap there.
Well, it sounds like a lot of exciting things are happening, and truly, it is a very important work, vital, and and in some cases, life-saving.
Yeah, life-saving. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. We want to be there for you, so please call in to Crosswinds 620-343-2211. Call up there, ask for Jade Brake. We're willing to help in any way we can.
Well, it was very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, you bet. We'd love to have you on again in the future as this progresses.
Yes. I would love to. I want to talk about our successes and growth.
Well, yeah, and it sounds like that's going to be happening through the year 2024. Jade Brake, Emergency Services Manager, Crosswinds Counseling and Wellness, our guest on the On-Air Chat this week. Our program brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. For commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more, call Bruce Davis Construction 620-342-5001. That is this week's On-Air Chat here on KVOE. We are live and local.
We want you to feel good. Tune in for Feel Good Friday.
Making you feel good.
Friday after the local news during the 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. hours on KVOE.